Cedric Muhammad. Can you feel me? Can you feel a grim reaper floating? Foul preacher quoting scriptures for revelation. Just talk getting got the devil waiting. Body getting stiff, soul levitating. Why do I speak blasphemy? Knowing one day that will ask for me. Ask for my sins, no one to feel his wrath for me. I go through it so you wouldn't do it after me. Ask for me, I'm still circling the block before I'm parking. Not rushing, I'm just still cautious.
Same Cedric Muhammad.
Same Uzi extra clip still clapping with that same Larkin. Damn, I feel it in the air, you not sincere. Thing to us or we or I'm a thing. Is a good, bad karma thing. Is a soul man to honestly. I swear I feel something honestly.
I can feel it.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Comcast says it will make voluntary concessions to get the official okay for its plans for an NBC Universal joint venture. Craig Moffett, a senior analyst at Sanford C. Bernstein, says the merger may still take about a year to pass regulatory hurdles. He joins us now with his assessment of the deal. Craig, great to see you.
Good to see you again.
So you were telling me in the break, and we teased this earlier, that you're saying that this is facing regulatory hell. Detail
well,
that.
Well, remember, this is coming into Congress in a Democratic administration that is unabashedly anti-big media. And it comes during a midterm election cycle when you're going to have every would-be media mogul in Congress deciding how they would like to see the media business run. So you're going to have, in addition to all of the consent decree types of conditions, the protections against antitrust power or vertical market power, you're also going to have all kinds of stuff you can anticipate, things like demands for net neutrality, for a la carte, for lower cable prices, and God knows what else that we haven't thought of yet.
So how have companies prepared for this? What are they doing right now?
Well, I think they've been fairly clear that they wouldn't do this deal if they didn't think that at the end of the regulatory process they would still be better off. Count me as somewhat skeptical that it's going to be that easy. Historically, these kinds of deals, and you can go all the way back to AOL and Time Warner, these kinds of deals have come with very, very big regulatory concessions in order to get them through Congress.
So what kind of concessions do you think Comcast might make? I know today, in fact, Bloomberg News is reporting that it will tell U.S. regulators that it'll increase local and children's programming and offer rivals access to NBC broadcast stations on fair terms.
Well,
is that legitimate?
It's legitimate, but that's just the opening ante, because saying that they will offer the NBC channels to their competitors, for example, is what's required under the so-called program access rules of the 92 Cable Act. That's already going to be, as I say, just the price of entry. It's what else that's going to come on top of that. I wouldn't be surprised to see anti-blackout provisions, for example, that say if you're in a programming dispute with, say, DirecTV, you can't take the channel off the air while you're negotiating. You'd very likely have binding arbitration provisions. So if you can't reach a price, then it goes to an arbitrator. Those kinds of things. Because remember, the playbook for how you would create value out of a vertical integration in media is pretty obvious, right? You would try to keep channels either exclusive or you'd try to charge more for channels by charging more to others. Both of those things are pretty obvious to the regulatory bodies, and that's exactly what the conditions are designed to prevent.
You had research saying a lot has been made, as you just said, of the potential for vertical synergies between content and distribution, but too little is made of the cost to achieve them. So what is your research showing on that cost, that extra cost?
Well, again, we don't know yet. This is the opening salvo, and you're probably going to have 12 months of wrangling. There's two separate regulatory processes we have to be aware of. There's the process in either the Department of Justice or the Federal Trade Commission. That's a rule of law test. And then there's the process in the Federal Communications Commission, and that is a public interest test. A public interest test, by definition, is going to be more subjective and therefore leaves the door open to being more political. And we just don't know what's going to come out of that process.
As far as the financials on the deal, shortly before the deal was announced, you lowered the price target on Comcast to $18. Does that hold?
Yeah, we're still in the same place. And in fact, this has been a very unusual deal in the sense that it was negotiated in public. What we saw today was pretty much what we'd been told to expect for the last 5 weeks. And so we've been taken through this every step of the way. There's not a lot of new information.
Beyond the regulatory hurdles, what other challenges is this merger going to face at this point?
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of people who have foundered on the rocks of trying to create vertical media companies. Everything from Time Warner to News Corp and others, where they have given up the ghost, because this is really hard to do. So the obvious questions, even aside from the regulatory, are how is Comcast going to be better at it than all the people that have come before?
I was just going to ask, as an analyst in this industry, do you like this model that Comcast NBCU is trying to create?
Honestly, not really. Look, you know, my clients are professional investors. And as a professional investor, you can buy whatever combination of content and distribution you want. And the only thing you can be guaranteed is that you're going to pay 20% less for the content that Comcast did, because they have to pay a control premium. So you haven't really made investors better off just by combining content and distribution. The question is, does the combination become worth more than the sum of the parts? And history says not usually.
We'll leave it there. Craig, thanks for the discussion.
I'm skeptical. I appreciate what he said, but I'm skeptical about NBC itself. I mean, they're buying the face of NBC, which is the NBC network right now. The cable companies will take care of themselves. NBC itself has a very bleak future, I think.
What do you think of the NBC affiliates? I mean, it seems to me like Comcast is going to be running a much harder deal for those affiliates, and that's going to be tough for the affiliates in the various cities around the country.
Sure, they're angry right now. They're angry about Leno, they're angry about the lead-in. They're angry right now in general, NBC doing so poorly. They rely on NBC to give them good programming and good lead-ins for their local news shows, things like that. Right now, it's not working out.
They're going to get the theme parks. They're going to get the movie studio. Chance, does anybody think they spin off the theme parks, that Comcast tries to sell off the piece, or the GE and Comcast together try to sell off the theme park business?
I don't think that's why they're purchasing NBC. Notwithstanding John's comments, and this is all opinion about the content or the quality of the content, I think they're doing this to have a hybrid distribution and content
which
company.
Means her
this
point
is why
is...
they went after Disney 5 years ago or four
right.
years ago.
Yeah, but your point, Cheryl, is valid, because that doesn't fit with
absolutely.
Disney can pull it off. Disney can pull off, you know, movies and theme parks, but maybe Comcast, being the fact that they're a cable company, could not pull that. I don't know, John. I mean, maybe I'm missing the point here.
Well, the question here is, why couldn't GE make a go of it? If Comcast sees value here, why couldn't GE see value there, too?
GE has a massive balance sheet, and for GE not to be able to turn around, get more eyeballs at NBC and at the cables, some of the cable networks, the stations, shows, are not doing that well either. To my mind, it means it's a matter of talent. It means a matter of, getting a new person on the stick. It means possibly removing Jeff Zucker.
How about Liz?
Possibly
Liz,
changing
want the
lineup. What
Liz,
about you, John? You
go
want the
it.
Job?
I'll tell you, I'm available. How about you?
Well, no, but I think real quick, John, I think the word is, the buzz is in the biz, our biz, that Jeff Zucker is going to get a new deal, right?
That's the thinking,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's a survivor, that's for sure. All right.
December 9th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I want to welcome you, those who come in having lunch on the East Coast. I have been merciful on you all. I have not done health code violations in months. Some of you want me to bring back the health code violations, where we expose those who feeding you poison and dirt in the name of cuisine. I think I'm going to lay off of it for the rest of the year. We may bring back the health code violations in 2010. Maybe we can internationalize the health code violation segment with papers from around the world. That was a big part of the show, 2007. We had a lot of fun with the health code violations. But I'm trying to get sponsors now. It's a new day. I can't be reading a health code violation of someone who might be buying a spot. All of my vegan, kosher, halal, soul food restaurants that don't want to advertise. I have to get money from those who have health code violations, right? That's why we have Steven Silberger coming on, author of The Jewish Phenomenon, to talk to us, give us an example of what social cohesion following basic universal principles, what it can lead to economically. The Jewish Phenomenon, author Steven Silberger, joining us shortly. Let me give you some of the 411 on this Comcast NBC deal. Let me read from last week's Wall Street Journal, Thursday, December 3rd. Comcast GE set to unwrap NBC Universal Pact. Now, let me make it real for you. Let me give you some of the statistics on this. Comcast would gain high-profile assets from NBC Universal, but most of its revenue would still come from its core cable TV business. The estimated revenue by line of business after the NBC Universal deal for Comcast is $41.86 billion. Not bullion, but billion dollars. 6.7% of that is going to come from cable entertainment and sports channels. 1.4% of that, $41.86 billion, is going to come from cable news. Now, those of you all that wonder why news is not a priority, you can just look no further than the portfolio of Comcast's revenue streams. It only gets 1.4% of its $41.86 billion in estimated revenue from cable news. Movies and theme parks, on the other hand, sport and play, that's 7.0%. 2.3% of the revenue of Comcast comes from local TV stations. 0.7% from Telemundo. And 5.1% comes from NBC and other broadcasts after the deal. Here's some of the properties. Comcast, selected assets of both companies. Sports, Comcast owns both the Philadelphia Flyers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Let me just keep it 100 with you. Do you all think that the return of Allen Iverson has nothing to do with this deal? See, I'm a fan just like everybody else, but I also like to look behind the bottom line. If you saw my long form video bio, you will know that it was when I was 17 years old. My brother got me in to participate in a hip hop concert at Rutgers University. Let me hold down the spotlight. And I saw the back deal maneuvering that goes on in the music business. I could care less at that point about the artists, just for the sake of it. My fascination ended with artistry at that moment, as I say in my bio video, which is available CedricMuhammad.com, and it's on YouTube. You can just Google my name, Cedric Muhammad, on YouTube. You can watch what I say. I talk about my time with Wu-Tang, working with Cynthia McKinney, etc., and I give credit to my biggest influences. But my point is, if you all think that Allen Iverson is back so that Philadelphia can win games alone and not pack seats, then you didn't pay attention to what happened on, what was it, Monday night. They sold out an arena. Philadelphia, the 76ers, which Comcast owns, had the second lowest attendance levels of all the teams in the NBA. Allen Iverson, they signed him for $1 million. That's nothing. He packs the house. The internet. They own Fancast, Daily Candy, Fandango, and Plaxo. They own the E Channel. They own the Golf Channel. They own regional sports. Comcast has 23.8 million cable subscribers and 15.7 million internet subscribers. Now with NBC Universal, they get NBC, MSNBC, USA, Bravo, Telemundo. They get a film library that includes To Kill a Mockingbird and the Bourne trilogy. As far as internet properties, they now get Hulu and iVillage. And then the Universal Studios theme parks is now part of the fold. So here's what the article says. After marathon negotiations, Comcast Corporation and General Electric Company are poised to announce Thursday a deal that would give Comcast control of GE's NBC Universal, turning the cable television giant into one of the world's largest suppliers of TV shows and movies. The deal, which had been in the works for 9 months, comes after Paris-based telecom and media company Vivendi SA agreed last weekend to sell its 20% stake in NBC Universal to GE for $5.8 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. Last Wednesday, GE and Comcast were working to ready the transaction for announcement, expected to be ready early in the morning. Now, again, this is the December 3rd article in the Wall Street Journal. If approved by regulators, the deal would give Comcast control of the U.S.'s oldest television network, more than a dozen cable networks, and Universal Studios, which includes both the movie studio and the theme park. Together with its existing businesses, Comcast would oversee assets with revenue of $51 billion in 2008. And that's greater than that of Time Warner Inc., Walt Disney Corporation, or News Corp. I'm trying to show you all what influences what we enjoy in terms of sport and play and hip-hop and internet channels. This is what's going on near the top. Now, if you were in Comcast and the 76ers said, well, we may bring back Allen Iverson, should we do it or not? They're not thinking about his behavior. They're thinking about, look, if the Philadelphia 76ers can be competitive on TV, that's more revenue for advertising. Allen Iverson jerseys are selling out like crazy. That's more merchandise for us. This makes signing Allen Iverson makes Comcast more valuable. That's how they looked at it. They're not caring nothing about how Allen feel, how happy he is to come home and all of that. This was a good business move for Comcast. Let me hit you with another perspective. It's from the Financial Times on Friday, December 4th. I mean, if it's the last thing I do, I want you all to develop, or those that already have it, I want to facilitate and water a love and appreciation for the science of business. A missing factor in explaining why political and cultural events happen the way that they do. Here is from Friday's Financial Times, the Peach Paper. Lawmakers warn on Comcast bid. U.S. officials warned that they would closely scrutinize Comcast's bid for control of NBC Universal as the cable company sought to ease regulatory and shareholder concerns. The combination of the General Electric-run NBCU, valued at $30 billion with $7.25 billion worth of Comcast's cable channels, will create one of the U.S. Here it comes now. This is the point I wanted to get to. Will create one of the U.S.'s largest content and distribution companies. There we go. With a strong say in the development of new digital business models for the industry. There we go. Now, let me teach. Let me put the camera on me. We're going to give a sermon right here to all you internet entrepreneurs. Okay. You can look at me now. The Peach Paper, as I hold up the Financial Times. Okay. These are real articles. I'm not fabricating them. Here's the first one I read. Comcast GE set to unwrap NBC Universal pack. Let me tell you what's going on. Now, Vivo started. And I hope that by now everybody is reading my weekly hip-hoppreneur commentary at allhiphop.com. Get your hip-hop news every day, your industry news from allhiphop.com. The most dangerous site in the world. Now, I'm writing about what's going on with what the Financial Times describes as content and distribution companies. Now, what's happened is the internet has become a platform for distribution. It's become a platform for networking. It's a place where people gather, socialize, debate, dialogue, interact. Unfortunately, the top companies that have provided this service, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're not making any money. And in my assessment, they're not making any money because they are not content providers. So the reason why YouTube had to bow down and become involved in Vivo, which is the music industry's effort to place all music videos not for free on the internet anymore, but to have you come to their site so that they can charge advertising. We talked about this last week. So who was the stronger of the two parties? Was it YouTube on one hand, or was it Universal Music Group and Sony on the other? Even though YouTube has 400 million users and over a billion views, they were the weaker in the arrangement because they did not have content. So what's happening now is companies like Comcast, which are distribution platforms in terms of what they do on the internet, in terms of what they do with the cable channels, they need content. If you have on-demand and all that, you understand how this works. I'm going to talk about Howard Stern in a minute and give you a heads up on what's happening. So as I read this article, let me show you what NBC Now brings. NBC Now brings content to Comcast. NBC, MSNBC, USA Channel, Bravo, Telemundo. Films like To Kill a Mockingbird and the Bourne trilogy, Bourne Supremacy, Bourne, whatever the other Bournes are. Hulu and iVillage and Universal Studios, okay? So if you have a distribution platform, you want content these days. So all my internet entrepreneurs out there, myself included, this is now the challenge. Can places like Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube become places where people will gather to watch original programming owned by Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, which is owned by Google? So I would not be surprised. Howard Stern's contract is coming up. I wouldn't be surprised to see Howard Stern sign with Facebook or Google to do his show right there. I wouldn't be surprised if you see my show end up on a platform like that. Not necessarily traditional radio, though that might happen, because we're open for business. But it's very increasingly likely that you will see people like Howard Stern or myself and others on internet channels that need content. So Twitter, again, go run the numbers. Now, YouTube is coming out saying that their sales, their ad revenue for sales, their ad sale revenue has increased. But has it made them profitable? I don't know. You have any thoughts on this? Let me know. This is the challenge, though. Read my articles, at my hiphoppreneur commentaries at allhiphop.com. Yes, Wyclef Jean on the show today, a little later. You're not going to make it in the music business if you don't understand what's happening with technology and demographic change. If you are a rapper out there listening to my show and all you care about is spitting a hot 16, keeping it real, and being the most thugged out artist, you're already obsolete. I have record labels in Africa who are trying to penetrate the market. They could care less about that. These rappers are going to have to sell records in Africa eventually in order to make it. Man, this is an exciting time if you know how to navigate it. Let me give you some more on this Comcast MSNBC thing. I couldn't overstate this, how important it is. But just if you don't understand it, just look at it in terms of Allen Iverson. Look at Allen Iverson's salary. Look how much the 76ers are paying him. 76ers are owned by Comcast. Look at the amount of revenue that Allen Iverson is going to bring to the Philadelphia 76ers, therefore Comcast, before this season is over in terms of merchandise, in terms of ticket sales, in terms of advertising revenue for basketball games, promotional opportunities, the whole nine. They got Allen Iverson bargain basement price, but it feeds the bottom line of Comcast, soon to be Comcast Universal / NBC, rather. Comcast, NBC, Universal, whatever. You don't know what they're going to call it. Let me give you another take on this deal. Here is how NBC, the company involved, reported it. I actually thought NBC did a good job of reporting their own purchase by Comcast. If you caught that, let me know. Here is NBC's nightly news last week reporting the news that they were being bought by Comcast. Again, think of this in terms of content and distribution. It is not enough to just have one or the other. The next big company is going to be that which can merge both. You have to have content and you have to have people socializing around that content, whether it's through chat rooms, whether it's through Twitter-like messaging, whether it's Facebook communityizing, communitization. Man, this is so important. Let me let this rip. Comcast, NBC, last week.
Parent company General Electric is selling NBC Universal to the cable TV giant Comcast. CNBC's David Faber has been covering this story all along and reporting on it for us today. What a pleasure to report on our own shop, as always. Huh?
Always interesting, yeah, indeed, Brian. You know, it took 9 months of negotiations, but with a 51% stake, cable company Comcast has agreed to take ownership of NBC Universal, ending General Electric's 20-year stewardship and likely changing how you get your entertainment.
It's a $30 billion deal that creates the largest entertainment company in the U.S. Already the largest cable provider in the country, Comcast has more than 23 million cable and almost 16 million online customers. Comcast wants to grow by offering more programming on demand on both platforms. And they'll get that programming from NBC Universal.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The country's oldest television network, with a legacy of programming on more than 200 affiliates and a dozen cable channels, including MSNBC, Bravo, and USA, will join with Comcast's own cable networks.
This company will have, if not the best, a fantastic suite of cable channels, each a multimedia brand, each growing, and we're very excited today.
This is Jason Bourne.
But the icing on the cake for Comcast? The movies. With NBC Universal's movie library and new releases, Comcast could bring hit films right into your living room or computer on demand.
The windows could shrink between the time you see a movie in the theater and the time it's offered on TV or on video on demand, and that will change the economics of Hollywood.
But he doesn't.
And with NBC Sports and Comcast Sports Channels, the new company hopes to rival sports powerhouse ESPN.
Comcast is going to push this for the viewer to be the king, to have that in their clicker hand, the ability to watch anything they want, anytime they want it. So appointment television is over.
It will take months for the deal to win approval from regulators, and some critics fear when it's done, it will bring higher costs for the consumer.
This deal means you're going to be paying more for your cable bill, more for your internet bill, and you're going to have less access to local, independent, and diverse programming on your cable and internet channels.
Well, so far, Comcast has promised to keep 75% of its on-demand content free to subscribers. But the company also says it wants to be in front of the parade when on-demand becomes viewers' first choice. House Judiciary Committee Chair John Conyers has announced a hearing on the deal, saying there will be heavy public scrutiny. Brian.
And this is the first regulatory test for the Obama administration.
Yes, it will be. And for a new FCC, of course, as well.
All right. David Faber on this story.
Now, all of you out there that are in denial over the love fest that went on between NBC and the Obama administration, do you think this deal is not going to be approved? I mean, real talk. Come on, let me put the xylophones on you. You think this deal is not going to be approved? Are you kidding me? NBC may have been one of the significant factors in President Obama being elected president. You think this deal is not going to be approved? Let me give you another hidden hand angle on this. We're just performing a mental massage right now on the Comcast NBC deal. This is from the Deal Journal, Wall Street Journal, December 4th, 2009. I want you to be fully informed of who is benefiting behind the scenes. Listen up. Comcast deal is a legal boomlet. It takes 79 lawyers to get the massive deal done, moving up league tables. Michael Corkery writes for the Wall Street Journal, one deal, three companies, and 79 lawyers, including 38 attorneys and legal assistants from just one law firm. That is the tally of legal help working on Comcast's complex purchase of a controlling stake in NBC Universal. Comcast legal advisor Davis Polk and Wardwell deployed those 38 people, according to a release naming each of them. Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher had just 10 lawyers working on the deal for Vivendi, which sold its minority stake in NBC Universal to General Electric. That move was a key part of the ultimate deal, giving Comcast a controlling stake of the media venture. David Kaplan, the leading Davis Polk partner on the deal, said the Vivendi portion was relatively straightforward from a legal perspective. But Comcast's bid involved creating a hugely complicated joint venture that required a large legal team to conduct extensive due diligence, structure and negotiate the transaction and get the deal done, he said. Weil, Gotshal and Mangus, the New York law firm advising GE and NBC Universal, used about 30 lawyers. In short, the deal was a legal boomlet amid a slow season of M&A activity. That was especially so for Davis Polk and Weil Gotshal. Davis Polk moved to number 7 from number 8 in the rankings by dollar volume of U.S. mergers and acquisitions advised on, according to Dealogic. Weil Gotshal moved up 3 spots to number 3. Now, why don't you and I know the names of these law firms that are advising these corporations on mergers and acquisitions? We talked about Sullivan and Cromwell before, one of the biggest, most prestigious and influential law firms ever on Wall Street. Sullivan and Cromwell did a big amount of attention as it related to who was involved in helping to save the Wall Street firms last year. Okay?